Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharu Ahuti Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharu Ahuti Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharad Haati Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Bharad Haati Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Varadhi Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Varadhi Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Panachari Yamuna Tira Panachari Jai Hurada Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Hurada O Madhuva Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Author Teda Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace by Achananda Bhaktivinoda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Vilas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopa Gopata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Vajiranam Ki Jai Jagannathaswami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasidevi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gaur Parimalanda Hari Hari Ro. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anyway, someone asked a question. Do you sing Malabha? Is it another variation of Malabha? No. Munatira Vanachari Vairada Madhava Gopi Janavalava. No, I said Balava. That's, I guess it's just like the internet doing something there. It's not Gopi Janavalava. Balava. Sounds similar. Okay. So, anyway, so let's get on with the Bhagavatam class. Let me take the chat window away. Close. And so we're going to cover the same verse again that we did yesterday, and we're going to go to the verse. Hold on a second. Because we didn't complete our discussion of anarthas, and I think it was very important to complete that discussion of anarthas, and I didn't really quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.4, 15 to 16, about the progress of devotional service and how that connects with the anarthas. So now we are going to read the Srimad Bhagavatam verse again. So Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 16th chapter, text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm just going to read this verse, and I guess we'll do the word-by-word synonyms again and the translation after that. And then we'll talk about anarthas.
Tasyat-sivir-garala-mudva-mata-shirasu Yad-yat-samunna-mati-nishvasato-ruchochai Richan-pananu-nam-mayam-namayam-babuva Pushpai-prabhujita-kiveha-puman-purana Takshak-sivir-garala-mudva-mata-shirasu Yad yad samunnam mataki nishvashvatsuto rucho chai richan pananu nam mayanda mayam babuva pushpai purpujit kiveha puman purana tashyat shivir garalamudva matashrasu yad yad samunnam mati Nishvasato Rushochai Richan Vananu Numayan Namayam Babuva Pushpai Prabhujita Giveha Puman Purana.
Okay. And then the synonyms. Dasha of him Akshibiyu from the eyes, Garalam, poisonous waste. Unvamata, who is vomiting Sirashu among the heads, yat yat, whichever, samun namati, would rise up, nishvasata, nishvasataha, who is breathing, rusha, out of anger, uchai, heavily, nrichan, while dancing, pada, with his foot, Anu na mayan, making bow down, damayam bapuva. He subdued, pushed by with flowers, pabujita, being worshipped. Iva indeed, iha, on this occasion. Puman, the personality of Godhead. Puranaha, original. So translation. Exuding poisonous waste from his eyes, Kaliya would occasionally dare to raise up one of his heads, which would breathe heavily with anger. Then the Lord would dance on it and subdue it, forcing it to bow down with its foot. The demigods took each of these exhibitions as an opportunity to worship him, the primeval personality of Godhead, with showers of flowers. So that's the verse. All right. Let us hold on a second. All right, so go back, stopping to share. And so, based on this verse, which we discussed partially yesterday, Kaliyub was actually exuding his anarthas, just like we, when we're progressing in devotional service, sometimes exude our anarthas, or as Srila Prabhupada said, actually, Om Ganatu Ganandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Many Tam Yena Tasmai Shivanay Namaha. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, when one is cleaning the room, then the dust flies up, or when one is making ghee, the example we gave yesterday, the impurities rise to the surface. And when the impurities rise to the surface in devotional service, we become aware of them, and it makes us humble. It makes us understand what level of devotional service we're at. As I mentioned yesterday, that until one comes to the platform of a Shakti, one should not think about what their spiritual identity is in the spiritual world. A Shakti means complete attachment to Krishna and complete detachment from the material world. And we're going to be describing these different stages of advancement in devotional service so you can see what stage you're at depending upon which anarthas you still have. That's one way of ascertaining. I mean, there's other ways of ascertaining what stage you're at in devotional service in terms of other symptoms. But let's talk about this particular subject matter now. In relationship to anarthas, okay? Here we go with the anarthas, and now we're going to project another screen for you. This is a very interesting verse that I think many of you have heard. And this is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, third chapter, texts 14 to 15. And this particular verse talks about the stages in devotional service. So I'm going to make it bigger so everyone can see it. So I'll read the Sanskrit first. Ado Shraddha Tata Saru Sango Ta Bhajana Kriya Tato Nartan Vritti Shat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Atha Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Bayunjati Sadakam Ayam Premna Pradubhave Bhavet Kramaha. And the different word by word translation is Ado means in the beginning, Shraddha means firm faith or disinterest in material affairs and interest in spiritual advancement. Tata means thereafter. Sadhu Sangha means association with pure devotees. Atta then means then. Bhajana Kriya means the performance of devotional service to Krishna, which means surrendering to the spiritual master and being encouraged by the association of devotees. So that initiation takes place. So that's Bhajana Kriya. It also means performing the nine processes of devotional service, which are not mentioned here. Tata, thereafter. Anartha, Nivritti, the diminishing of all unwanted habits. We talked about what anarthas were yesterday. We went into a really precise description of different types of anarthas. And also we talked about where they came from. Remember? Anarthas come from sinful activities, pious activities. Anarthas come from offenses against devotees, offenses against the holy Dham, offenses against other living entities. And anarthas come from the bhakti itself because one becomes proud of the progress that they're making in devotional service and thinks that they are more advanced than they actually are and tries to lord it over the other devotees, and that's committing offenses against the other devotees too. So let's continue. So anartha nivritti means the diminishing of unwanted habits. Sometimes we describe anarthas as six, you know, kama, krodha, mana, matsarya, bhavibhaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, like that, bewilderment. Shat, there should be, tata, then. Nishta, firm faith. Wow. Ruchi, actually, nishta also means steadiness. I'm going to go through these different words and actually go a little bit deeper after we read the word-by-word synonyms. Ruchi means taste. Tata means thereafter. Ata, then. Asakti means attachment. Means firm attachment, complete attachment to Krishna and detachment from other things. Tata, then. Bhava. Emotion or affection. Tata, thereafter. Prema, love of God, of Yudhanshati arises, Sadakanam, of the devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, I am this Premna, of love of Godhead. Pradabhava, in the appearance, Bhavet is Kramaha, the chronological order. It means they come one after the other. Okay. So let's talk about these different words. Okay. So let's start with the verse. Okay. And then we'll talk about the anarthas in a second. Hold on a second. Okay. First, we'll talk about Ado. So Ado means in the beginning. That means when you first come to Krishna consciousness. And then the second word here, Shraddha. So Shraddha, actually, it's an interesting word, and it can be understood in different ways. It basically means firm faith or faith, but it's composed of two words, shrak and da. Da means to give, shrak means one's heart. It basically means that one's heart is convinced about Krishna consciousness, or at least there's some preliminary interest in Krishna consciousness. So when one has that interest, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmate Kanda Padwan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bish, then one is sent into the association of devotees and gets the Bhakti Lata Bish. And one gets attracted to associating with the sadhus. Of course, a sadhu is actually one who is absorbed in the sat aspect of the Lord, the internal aspect, rather than the temporary nature, nasato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha, ubiyarapi drishto antas, tani, chaiwas, tadvadashavi. He's one who sees the truth because he understands the temporary things are actually not so significant, in one sense unreal, and the permanent things are the reality that he's interested in. Okay, so what does he do when he associates with the sadhus, sangha, like sadhu sangha? I'm sure you've heard about that before. Like they have festivals called sadhu sangha. So sangha means it's like together. It also means complete. Like you have sankirtan, which is basically the same root, from the same root. Sankirtan means together chanting, or congregational chanting, as Prabhupada would describe it. And also, it means complete chanting, absorbed chanting. So one really becomes determined to associate with those who are advanced in devotional service. And when you associate with them, you do something called bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means the process of devotional service. Kriya means the activities of bhajana. And beginning with devotional service and practice, then devotional service and ecstasy, and et cetera, and then pure devotional service. Of course, the devotional service and practice is divided into two categories. That is the Vaidhi, according to the rules and regulations, and Raganuga, when one actually becomes spontaneous. But Raganuga actually is a very high platform, as we're going to describe in a few minutes that Raganuga means that you're actually on the platform of a Shakti, because in Raganuga Bhakti, you actually become attracted to a particular resident of Vrindavan and you follow in their footsteps. So that's very high. So you may think, oh, I'm on the platform of Bhava, I'm on the platform of Prema. Well, got news for you. Actually, you may be on the platform of Bhava Rogue. The word Bhava Rogue means the material emotions. That's true. Actually, there's an interesting memory of Prabhupada I just heard yesterday. And Bhavananda Maharaj was actually, Bhavananda Prabhu, was actually talking about how he got his name from Prabhupada and how Prabhupada described the name. So, very, very interesting. So he thought his name meant Bhavananda, which means the bliss of the ecstasy of emotions to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, your name means Bhavananda, which means the bliss of the material energy. Which is actually quite interesting. And he was disappointed when he heard that. And Prabhupada said, well, one who is a pure devotee takes bliss, Vishwam Purna Shukayate, he takes bliss in this whole material world because it's an opportunity to serve Krishna. But interesting. So that's Bhajana Kriya. And then while you're doing Bhajana Kriya, you work on the anarthas, and that's called Anartha Navritti stage. You see here. Anartha Navritti. And when you're relatively free of anarthas, which we're going to discuss in a few minutes, then one becomes, nishta means steady in devotional service. Now I'm going to describe what that means. There's two types of nishta, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, steadiness in devotional service. One type is when you're steady in your bhajan, you're really good. You get up early every morning, you chant, you hear the Bhagavatam every morning. But then the rest of the day, you know, whatever. It's pretty unsteady. You talk for japa during the rest of the day. You do some nonsense things during the rest of the day. That's one type of nishta. I mean, it's good. It's not bad. But a higher type of nishta is 24/7. What I mean by that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 24/7 for those who speak Spanish. Anyway, so that's a higher type of nishta. There's lower type, higher type. Okay. And then, after nishta, then you come to the platform of ruchi. Ruchi means you get a taste. I mean, we all have some taste. I mean, maybe a shadow attachment or whatever it is. But to have a real taste for devotional service means not just that it comes and goes. And there's two types of ruchi also. One type is that you actually have a taste when the person giving the class or the person who is chanting does a nice job, has a very melodious voice, or is very charismatic. And you don't have such a taste when the person giving the class or giving the chanting is chanting out of tune or not so charismatic. So, but the higher level of ruchi is when you have a taste, regardless of the, let's say, the external aspects of the chanting or of the Krishna Katha. And that's why sometimes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was having kirtan with his disciples, he would have the person with the worst voice lead the kirtan so people wouldn't get so much into the whole musical accompaniment, but would actually get into the deep understanding, the deep contemplation of the holy name. And then after that, and then you get Ashaktis, which you see here, which means complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. And then after that, you get Bhava. Bhava means, and we've given description of that before, that you have the Ashtasattvika Bhava, you have the Vyabhachari Bhava, the Stai Bhava, the Vibhava. I mean, let me explain what I mean, the Anubhava. These are the different types of bhavas. Vibhava means that which excites you to have the other emotions, either Krishna or things related with Krishna. Anubhava means the deliberate emotion that you exhibit after you become excited. Ashtasattvika Bhava means the eightfold emotional symptoms that occur due to your contact with the Vishuddha Sattva, which are always there. Then there's the Vyabhachari Bhava, the 33 like ecstatic emotions that occur without any warning that just overwhelm you, and the Stai Bhava, which is the emotions that deal with your particular relationship with Krishna, whether you are a servant of Krishna or a coward boy or a parent of Krishna or a gopi, etc., like that. So, and then finally, there's prema. So prema means pure love of Krishna. My happiness is not important. If my misery gives Krishna happiness, then I want to be miserable. Now, how many of us are at that stage? Or how many of us are at the stage of ruchi? Or how many of us are at the stage of nishta? You know, sure, we're probably working on the anarthas, anartha nivritti. But, I mean, maybe I'm offending some of you, forgive me. But how many of us are steady 24 hours a day? How many of us have a taste, regardless of who's chanting, who's giving class? And then I can't say really say we're on the platform of Vasakti. So we're not ready to start thinking about, you know, who we are in the spiritual world. I actually was listening to a class at Prabhupada this morning while I was doing my deity worship. And Prabhupada was talking about this Sahaja group, the Gopi Bhava group that was there in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada was extremely upset with them. Because if you try to jump too quickly, then Prabhupada also gave the example of someone imitating Hanuman. Prabhupada said, big, big belly, big, big monkey, Ceylon jumping, melancholy. That, you know, one may be a big monkey, whatever. But one cannot imitate Hanuman, or should not imitate Hanuman. Hold on a second, I'm just trying to think. Oops. I don't know. Hold on. Stop, share. Hold on a minute. Let me just share this again, because I had a little glitch and I can share a screen again. Okay, let's go back. Okay, anyway, so this is the karma, which means the step-by-step progress of devotional service. Okay, so that's one thing I wanted to show you. And then now we'll talk about how the anarthas relate, or the progress of getting rid of the anarthas relate to each particular stage in devotional service. So that's another angle by which we can see which stage we're at in Krishna consciousness. Let me get to the next slide. One second. All right. Take me 1 second to get to it. Da, da, da. There we go. This is a summary from the Madhurya Kadambini about the stages of spiritual advancement and how they relate to one's consciousness, which we're not going to talk about right now, and how they relate to the progress of anartha nivritti, getting rid of the anarthas. Like vomiting out the anarthas, like Kaliya was doing, either from our eyes, our mouth, or consciousness. Okay? So, these are different. Let's continue with this. So stages of spiritual advancement. Hold on a second. So, in the beginning, we have all these anarthas. As we mentioned, shraddha, faith, means firm trust in scriptures, desire to undertake devotional service. Put my glasses on so I can see this better. And this outline, hold on a second. Let's just go here. So in the beginning, you have firm faith in scriptures, dealing with devotional service, desire to undertake devotional activities. And two types are natural or force. Force means like, you know, you're with devotees, you know, just like you're forced to have some shraddha, but natural, or you're just developing the shraddha. And natural means it's from a previous birth. So, let's go. And so still, as you see, you still have all the anarthas there. Still haven't gotten rid of them yet. Not just by the firm faith. You haven't got rid of them. Next stage is you begin to associate with the devotees. You ask about how you should behave, four regulative principles. You develop relationships with devotees, and you take association from advanced devotees. And sometimes you experience this thing called shadow ecstasy. Shadow ecstasy means whenever there's an ecstatic kirtan, whenever there's an ecstatic Bhagavatam class, you get this shadow, which is described like burnt up or dried up ecstasy, which is like a reflection. And you may think you're advanced by getting this shadow ecstasy, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're advanced. It just means you're having some particular association. But still, these anarthas are there. I mean, you're beginning to perhaps be aware of them, but the anarthas are there. And then the next stage is when you begin to associate with the sadhus. And I said that already. And then you do bhajana kriya. That means you accept initiation from the spiritual master. Your meditation is just very momentary. You know, sometimes you're thinking of Krishna, sometimes you're not thinking of Krishna. And as far as the aspects of the benefits of devotional service, you become relieved from distress. In other words, all the karma goes away and your life becomes auspicious at that particular point. And bhajana kriya is two types, steady and unsteady. I mean, some days you chant rounds, some days you don't chant your rounds, but you're still following the regulative principles. So then, as far as the anarthas are concerned, the anarthas from past activities, in other words, because you've gotten rid of, let's say, the sins that you've been doing or the karmas that you've been doing, so the anarthas from past activities are almost completely gone. Pretty good. And the anarthas from offenses, as long as you don't commit offenses, are partially gone, and also the anarthas from bhakti, they're partially gone too. But remember, because you've gotten rid of all your karma, all the anarthas from past activities, good and bad, are gone. And this bhajana kriya, and anartha, as you're entering the anartha nivritti clearing stage, and it's described here, the process of clearing the anarthas and one qualities of the heart, such as lust, anger, greed, pride, is present throughout all the stages of spiritual advancement, mainly between the stages of bhajana kriya and nishtha. In other words, anartha nivritti is not one specific stage, although sometimes it's described as one specific stage. It's actually enacted throughout one's devotional service, mainly between the time you actually, let's say, accept initiation, perform devotional service, and the time when you become nishtha or fixed in devotional service. Nishtha, as I mentioned before, is 24/7. There are two types of nishtha I mentioned, when it's just the bhajan or the sadhana, and the second type of nishtha is 24/7, you are engaged in Krishna's service. That's the higher stage of nishtha. So until that time, you're really dealing quite a bit with the anartas. So, anartha nivritti. So at nishtha, okay, you've really dealt completely with the sins or the anarthas from sinful or pious activities, and you pretty much dealt with the anarthas from pervasive means. You pretty much dealt with the anarthas from offenses, different types of offenses, because nishtha means you're fixed. And you pretty much dealt with complete. Now, complete doesn't mean absolutely gone. You're going to see that in a second. So you've also completely or almost completely dealt with the anarthas from devotional service that come from the performance of devotional service. So let's get on with this. So then we have ruchi, and it's still the same thing that you dealt with those two types of anarthas from past activities and offenses at the stage of ruchi, but they're not absolute yet. But when you reach the stage of ruchi, then you've dealt absolutely with the anarthas from devotional service. Pretty good. Pretty good. Absolutely means they can't come back. And then when you reach the stage of ashakti, then you've also dealt completely with the, in other words, can't come back, no sins, no pious activities, results or karma or anything like that. It's gone. And then when you reach the stage of bhava, then from offenses, almost complete. Now I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Almost complete means it still may come back at the stage of bhava. See, bhava means we awaken our rasa. It's rarely achieved. We meditate on seeing the Lord and two types of bhava, or in reverence or equality, that we're not going to get into that right now. So it's almost complete, which means at bhava you can still succumb to offenses. Oh my God. What does that mean? Offenses generally in chanting. And that's what happened to Bhart Maharaj when Bhart Maharaj actually inattentively was chanting his rounds as he was taking care of the deer. You may say the cause of his falling down or the cause of his having to take birth as a deer was due to his becoming attached to the deer, but really it was due to his inattention while chanting. Because had he been attentive while chanting, he wouldn't have been inappropriately attached to the deer. And of course, at prema, everything's absolutely complete. Absolutely complete. One has no more anarthas. So let's go back to the Ashakti platform. So on the Ashakti platform, you still have some problem. But that's the stage by which you can actually try to understand who you are in the spiritual world. And the symptom of that Ashakti platform, I'm going to make this really big here, is you try to think of Maya and you can't. Your mind just like goes back to Krishna. Before that, whenever you try to think of Krishna, your mind goes automatically to Maya. But when you reach Ashakti, so that's the standard for trying to understand who you are in the spiritual world. That your mind automatically goes to Krishna. Oh, let me think of Maya, and I can't do it. Your mind goes to Krishna. So anyway, so at that point, you're ready to think about your spiritual identity. And that's the reason I wanted to present this whole thing about the anarthas. So we can understand the anarthas, where they're coming from, how to deal with them, and at what stage we're at, depending upon the freedom from anarthas. And being humble. Because when we understand what stage we're at, when we see how we're still succumbing to lust, anger, greed, illusion, bewilderment, then that should be a message to us that it's time to be humble. So on this, on that point, or after we're dealing with those points, so now we'll take some questions from all of you. Who has some questions?
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes, Jambhaka Latha, the best teacher in the world.
Oh gosh, please accept my humble obeisances. I'm just trying to follow your example, Gurudev. So I was hearing a class some years ago from a godbrother of yours who I have a lot of respect for. And he was talking about how we need to, he was basically saying we need to let ourselves be at the Ashakti place. In other words, stop focusing on our anartas and just allow ourselves to relish spiritual life and let Ashakti just kind of happen. Not, in other words, not tell ourselves all the time, well, I don't have any taste because I still have anartas. So I was wondering what your thoughts were about that.
Well, I mean, obviously I would agree to a certain extent, that yes, we should just let ourselves relish devotional service. That is true, but we have to be aware. I mean, just like, for example, here I am, you know, in lockdown. Hopefully I'm coming out on Friday. So here I am locked down, and I'm relishing my life and everything like that. But, you know, I notice there's some dirt on the floor. I'm still relishing. So this morning before class, I took out my broom and was sweeping and got rid of the dirt. Yesterday, I noticed that nobody had cleaned my porch, so I took my broom last night and was cleaning the porch. And I was enjoying the cleaning process, too. So the point is, when one sees an anartha, it's not that you get depressed or start meditating on the anartha. It's a challenge. You actually enjoy dealing with it because it's for Krishna. It's an offering to Krishna. It's like when I'm cleaning the floor, because hopefully it's an offering to Krishna, but it's an offering to my deities who are sitting there watching me give class right now. So I'm enjoying that. Why would Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and these other acharyas and, you know, certainly Rupa Goswami talk about offenses, talk about different things like that, and about Bhakti Ratsamrita Sindhu, unless it was meant for us? I mean, the discussion on anarthas is not meant for pure devotees. You know, it's meant, why all this analysis is not coming from me. It's not coming from my little tiny brain. It's coming from the acharyas. And so, why? For us, you know, for our benefit. Why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur talk about different things in his songs? You know, he also mentions the progress of anarthas, but why does he talk about the song Gopinath, Mama Nivedana no Shuno, I have no good qualities. I mean, why? How do we become humble? Harinam Chintamani, why did he write as Harinam Chintamani? I mean, I think we need to be aware, not depressed, but just somehow or other be aware of where we're at in devotional service. So we'll know. I mean, just like, all right, let's use the example of a weightlifter. Different examples come to mind. Okay, someone wants to lift weights, right? And lifting weights means, you know, you have barbells. I don't know if you know what barbells are. That means a big bar with different weights at the end. And so in the beginning, what do? You put on went off of mute. You put on 5 kilos, well, maybe 2 kilos on each end of the barbell. Or maybe you don't even put the weight on the barbell. Then you build your strength up. And what happens if you put 200 kilos on the barbell and you're not strong enough? I mean, you got to know your limits. I mean, you'll get a hernia. and you'll have to get an operation. So in the same way, and Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually said that we should be aware what platform we're at, and before we're at a Shakti, we should not be thinking of our spiritual identity. And this is the Acharyas, it's not just my opinion. I mean, I can give you the exact quotes later on, but from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about this. So, yes, we should enjoy devotional service, we should enjoy chanting, it's very beautiful, very wonderful, and also be aware where we fall short. And I don't think that's depressing. I mean, when I find myself falling short of the highest standard of devotional service, I just... It forces me to take more shelter of Prabhupada, engage more enthusiastically in devotional service. Because if we think we're more advanced than we actually are, then we let our guard down. You know, if I think that I'm a pure devotee, for example, then I'll let my guard down. And I won't be enough afraid of Amaya or Krishna's illusory energy or Anarthas. You know, so I think it requires like some personal honesty that we should have. I mean, that's what I get from reading the Acharyas. It's not, as I said, I'm not presenting my personal opinion. Is that all right? Okay, who else has a question? Yes, Jayanti, you have a question. Speak now. Take yourself off mute.
Hare Krishna, please accept my obeisances. Yesterday we have some Bhakti Sangha and we talk about envious. I said, good. Okay. And I ask devotees, what is this? Where is the symptoms of envious? Because sometimes I think we have some envious in our heart, and we don't know, or somebody have this quality and we can recognize. Yeah. And some devotees says the envious if somebody hate you and want in the her mind to destroy you. And some devotees says this is the stage of consciousness. This is not if somebody wish hurt you, but he's enter in this state of consciousness. He don't want hurt anybody, but he's envious, always like energy. And I want to ask you, what do you say, what is this strict mode envious?
Well, envy is an interesting... All right, put yourself on mute. So envy is actually a very interesting thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that I want to hurt you. It basically means I don't want to do the best thing for your spiritual advancement. I'm thinking of myself more important than you. Basically, it stems from that particular point. I may not want to hurt you. I may want to use you or may consider you insignificant. It stems from the point of that I am an important person. I'm the most important person. I'm number one. And other people are insignificant. And basically, they may be meant for my pleasure. Just like if one is killing animals or one is eating animals, one is envious of that animal because one wants to use the animal as a object rather than a subject. When we objectify people or living entities, then we're envious of that person or entity, as the case may be. So that's a general thing. And sometimes it means you hate someone. But it's not necessarily the fact that you hate people that you're envious of. You just may want something they have. And you don't want to hurt them. You may want to diminish them or use them. So anyway, if one feels envy, then it's an impetus to take shelter of Krishna and the devotees.
Yes. Okay. But sometimes a person is envy to somebody who is much poor or much not have something. For example, I want what this person have. I don't want anything, but I'm envy.
Yes, right. You want what the person has. You don't understand that Krishna has given him whatever he has, whatever his talent has, whatever his money or whatever possession he has. And that's part of envy. Anyway, there's different varieties of envy. I mean, we could probably do a whole analysis of envy. But the main thing is when you experience it, whoops, someone is causing some noise. But anyway, when you experience envy, it's an indication that you're not so advanced in devotional service. That's what I'm trying to get to. Not so much to concentrate on. Whoops, someone keeps making noise. So not to concentrate on the envies, so to speak, but it's an impetus to engage more fully in devotional service. That's really what I'm getting to. An impetus to take shelter and serve the devotees. An impetus to approach the spiritual master and ask for service. So the envy itself you can't get rid of. That was what I talked about yesterday. You can't get rid of just by thinking, I want to get rid of envy. I'm envious of you. You have more money than me. I mean, just like one time I was in Mayapur and my godbrother, Ambarish Prabhu, arrived in Mayapur and they had like elephants receiving him and loudspeakers. And it was just like an amazing reception. And I was thinking, hey, what about me? I'm a sannyasi. I should get received like that too. So then I understood, oh my God, Maharaj, you have a problem. So you better chant more enthusiastically. But you can't get rid of that sort of envy by being aware of it. But being aware of it is an impetus to actually do bhakti. Bhakti purifies the heart. Chaito darpanam marjanam. And one thing I didn't talk about today was how the different, this is also talked about by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how the different verses in the Shikshashika refer to different stages in devotional service. Maybe I should actually mention that. Let's see if I can find that chart and show it to you, which would be interesting. Maybe I have it. Oh yeah, I have it here. Oh, hold on a second. I will put it on the screen for you. Give me 1 second. Da-da-da-da. Just what you wanted to see. So, of course, there's a little bit of Rasika stuff there, which I'm not going to let you see. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzed that each verse in the Shikshashika referred to a different stage in devotional service. And also, that particular verse can help us come more fully to that stage and deal with the anarthas that may be prominent as one is on that stage. For example, you know, cheta darpana marjanam means cleansing the heart or cleansing the mirror of the mind of the heart, of the soul. So that's shraddha. So each and every verse in the Shikshashika refers to different stages in devotional service. So we can, we can meditate on these verses, and each particular verse in the Shikshashika refers to a pair of words in the Mahamantra, as you see here, which is actually quite interesting. I thought that was, give me 1 second. I thought that is actually quite interesting. Like you see, you know, Hare Krishna, And then Krishna Krishna, whoops, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, and Hari Hari. So it's an interesting analysis, and you can read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur if you're interested in that. But the main point I want to make here is that if we study the Shikshashtaka, then we can actually understand how to deal with these anarthas. I mean, for example, you have Nadanam, Nijanam, Nisundarim, Kavitam, Va, Jagadisha, Kamaye. So here you're talking about lust and greed. Nadanam, Nijanam. I don't want any wealth. I don't want any followers. Because followers also is an indication of the anarthas that come from bhakti, dana, or dhanam too, you know, dhanam and sundarim. Wealth, followers, or beautiful women, or beautiful verses. Sometimes it's described like that, poetic, mundane verses. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhakti ahoy tuki jwaye. All I want from you is causeless devotional service life after life. Anyway, so studying the Shikshashtaka, and you will understand these things. So when you do experience anarthas, then refer to different verses in the Shikshashtaka. And that will help you too. There's different ways. Take association with devotees, study the Shikshashtaka, chant the rounds more enthusiastically, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, serve the Vaishnavas if you're envious. You know, there's different remedies. But don't just concentrate on the anartha. Be aware of it, but use it as an impetus to deal with your level of devotional service and progress further. Okay, on that happy note, we are going to end because it's 7:30 here. Thank you all for joining us. And we wasn't able to share this on Facebook today because somehow or other it didn't work when I tried to share it on Facebook, but I've recorded the whole thing and I'll be uploading it to Facebook. So you all can see it, or someone who didn't see it this morning can see it on Facebook.